As Taoiseach, I want to see everyone reach their full potential. I want to help create an Ireland that drives innovation and creativity, an Ireland that is compassionate, tolerant and respectful.
On the things that really matter to workers and families, you have comprehensively failed, and no amount of bragging or bluster will disguise that fact.
So hello and welcome to this Your Politics Euro Election special. I'm joined in our spanking studio here in RTE by Micheál Lehane, Paul Cunningham and Tommy Mescal. I was just saying, guys, before we started, I've seen tides go out on governments before. I've never seen a tide go out on an opposition in an election like this before.
Yeah, and it is the tide going out based on two things, based on the 2020 figures and based on that fairly consistent polling data right up to recent weeks. And even then, like if you were to look 2 weeks back, you would have thought, well, Sinn Féin has a good chance of gaining a lot of council seats, perhaps coming in somewhere around the other two parties. But that has completely dissipated now. Somewhere along the way, there seems to be a load of problems emerged for the party. One is people stopped listening to the issues they were raising, because they were the issues of the election still. Things like housing, things like health, and their base, some people who would have consistently supported them in the past, didn't want to hear for them when they were canvassing at the doors. That seems to be a fairly consistent thing that we're hearing back. So for all those reasons, the party is back to where it was in 2019, perhaps with modest gains at the local level. But that won't count for too much at all if they run into major difficulties in the next few hours with the European elections and there's no progress made there.
Wilkes gets a sense, Áine, that they're not particularly certain as to why they find themselves in the circumstances that they find themselves. Mary Lou McDonald, the Sinn Féin leader, was speaking in the past few minutes, and she was talking about how she was the leader and going to lead, that they had lessons to learn, they had to make a reassessment, but there wasn't any particular insight for her. And she said part of the reason that they needed to undertake the review was to get to the bottom of what is this malaise. Could it be that Sinn Féin has just hit its natural peak and it isn't going to get any bigger? Or is there some structural problem? Or is this the manner in which they're communicating the message? Or indeed, is it the message themselves? It seems to be wide open country and the party's looking out and saying, what have we got to do? Because time is against them. The general election is coming and they have to get their house in order.
And there's this bizarre thing that has happened, and Sinn Féin acknowledged this, that somehow they became viewed as being part of the government, part of the establishment. And it made it very difficult for them to fend off that. And they got really damaged by it in a way that the government parties themselves didn't. They managed to hold what they have by and large. Some of that as a result of Simon Harris's arrival and the momentum, but equally the Fianna Fáil vote holding up quite well around the country as well, you know.
And where did it go wrong? Was it the flip-flopping, Mary Lou McDonald saying that's a government attack line, that's not fair? Was it the discussion around a €300,000 house and what that would mean to people in Dublin? Was it that video in Parnell Square after that unfortunate little girl and that school attack? What was it? But the fact is, you know, it has been a trend that has been going on for quite a while now. They pride themselves on having their finger on the pulse, don't they, Sinn Féin, Tommy? So why didn't they pick this up sooner?
Or was it down to the debate around immigration that was seen to have put Sinn Féin on the back foot, because they were being portrayed as more right by more right wing candidates as being an almost establishment party and afraid to tackle the issue? Perhaps there was a bit of that too. But then I think in these elections, from what we're seeing so far, was there is a presence of right wing candidates and some will get elected. I don't think we've seen the surge that many were talking about. So maybe it wasn't totally down to immigration. Perhaps it was maybe seen to be flip-flopping on different issues. Perhaps too, voter turnout has an impact on these things. Turnout is lower than it would be in a general election. Who doesn't turn up for local elections? Perhaps maybe younger people. Who's more likely to vote for Sinn Féin? Perhaps maybe younger people. So maybe all those different issues at play. But I think, as the two lads were saying there, Sinn Féin themselves are not quite sure what exactly went wrong here.
And you think back on that Sinn Féin or the Sinn Athlone, you know, Mary Lou joking with the party faithful, I've heard you about the number of candidates. I've heard heard you about, you know, not running too few candidates. Don't worry, the message has been learnt.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult, though. It is difficult to try and predict so many months out when you decide on your slate which is going to be the best, when elections are dynamic, campaigns can change, and maybe they wouldn't have run so many if they were able to make those choices, you know, a few days out. But it's certainly true that in local elections, in local election areas, they were running two, three candidates, and that's certainly not helped their chances. But that was raised with Mary Lou McDonald, and she said, well, you know, selecting the candidates is crucial, but this isn't a precise science. You can't be certain. And once again, she was addressing this issue of choices that they made. You know, the die was already cast by the time it came down. But other parties did better than Sinn Féin. So once again, they're back into that reflection mode. What did we do? How can we change it? What are we going to do?
Yeah, you have Mary Lou's own backyard, don't you? Yeah. Even, I mean,
getting outpolled by Fine Gael there, that's a particularly irksome one, surely, for the Sinn Féin leader, and shows the scale of the challenge going into the general. What does the party do now? Because they have been fairly assiduous in the work they've been doing around selecting candidates for the general election. They're ahead of many others on that front. But is that based on opinion poll data that has them up somewhere in the mid to high 20s? Or is it back to where they could finish up in the next while, which is about somewhere in the mid-teens?
He's a busy man.
We let you come back to us with some more news in a minute. And it must be particularly galling, Tommy, for Sinn Féin, because they have had in Leinster House such pride in their position as the largest party, that even if they were the party of opposition, almost saying to the government, you know, you don't have a right to be there sometimes.
Well, they had reason to be optimistic because they were soaring in the polls. And it's really only in the last few months that we have seen that consistent trend. And I think confusion and panic perhaps within the Sinn Féin party as to why exactly that is happening. Now, some party leaders, the likes of Tánaiste Micheál Martin, I heard Bertie O'Hearn on this morning, and the former Minister of State Lucinda Creighton on radio this morning, making the point that what happened in a local election might not necessarily play out in a general election. So perhaps the likes of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael shouldn't get too complacent and assume that Sinn Féin is on a downward trend here. However, when you take into account that poll numbers are declining, when you take into account that several candidates that they hoped to get elected this time around didn't get elected, there is probably reason to be slightly concerned about Sinn Féin's future.
And what about Fine Gael and the Harris hop, Paul? I mean, it is a remarkable thing when you think, coming up on 14 years in government, that they're able to get a result like this.
Yeah, I mean, one would have to say, deduce that when Leo Varadkar decided that he wasn't going to be able to lead the party anymore, part of that was looking ahead to an election where there was either he felt he wasn't the person to do it, or personally didn't feel he had it in him to do it. And
there was lots of criticism then, wasn't there? Yeah. You're walking away, you're abandoning your party so close to elections.
But it was pretty clear that, you know, the smart money was on Simon Harris. His campaign was devastating, and he's been just going non-stop all the time. And that has re-energised the party. His crisscrossing of the country, he was on a 12-hour canvass the day before polling. 13 hours the day before polling. This guy is absolutely going for it. And maybe that's part of the calculation with Sinn Féin and other parties are going to have to do, is there is now this Harris phenomenon. What are they going to do about it? How is it possible that he's able to give zip to a party, as you said, that's nearly been in government for a decade and a half, and it's come up and its vote is going up and the polls are going up? This is quite a phenomenon. So I'm sure that he's going to reflect on this after the election, saying a job well done. The big question, though, obviously hanging there in the ether, is Simon Harris is the person who's going to decide when the next general election. Could he cut and run to the country in July? I don't think so. But is he likely to have an awful lot of thought about doing it after the budget, when he's had the chance, that big lever he can press to shower the country with money? After that, I think that's when he's going to go. And I think there's going to be no change in the high octane speed of Simon Harris between now and then.
Yeah, he most resembles Bertie Ahern in that regard, doesn't he? That high energy.
Ouch.
Thing. But it's not just that. He most resembles him too, in the sense that every single act, every single move is through that prism of politics, in a way that some leaders, even though they do manage to get to the top, they do manage to become Taoiseach, their absolute political instincts can slightly wane a bit. He doesn't have that. Everything is done through that prism. Equally, in this, he will look to these local election results, and I'd say will have a very hands-on approach in selecting the candidates. And there's a huge job for Fine Gael to do there, and given their level of retirements, of getting candidates into the field in the next few weeks to be ready for that.
And that can be one
election.
Of the factors that would influence the local election. election result being very different from the general. The other interesting thing, though, has been the patterns of transfers between the government parties.
Yes, yeah.
And it's interesting, again, you've had Sinn Féin, you know, throwing the label of Tweedledum and Tweedledee at Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael together in government. Well, it turns out in terms of transfers, that pays off.
Yeah. You could see it again this morning in the RDS with Regina Doherty and Barry Andrews. There's a clear pattern there. There's patterns in the local elections right across the country of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, and it's a bit good to the Greens as well in all of that. The Greens, another part of that dynamic within government that held up beyond any expectations, really, that there isn't that ebbing of the green tide this time. So I suppose that this was summed up way back by Michael Lowry on the day when the government was formed in 2020. Said from now on the big days between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will have to be shared, and you're seeing it now. The public are no longer making that huge distinction between the parties.
There's one good example of that. Michael McGrath, the finance minister's brother, Seamus, did well down in Cork in his LEA. Got 5,000 votes, far more, I think 30.6% yeah. vote, but an awful lot of that surplus went to Fine Gael.
And let's talk now a bit about some of the smaller parties. And again, there's a bit of something for everything there, for everybody there, isn't there? Labour, there's life in Labour yet. Social Democrats, they seem to be happy with the way that they're growing. The Greens not getting the losses they'd anticipated. Independent Ireland coming in and making its mark.
You're seeing that it's a good day for independents and those small parties.
Yeah.
And in relation to the transfers there, you are seeing those transfers between the government parties. But speaking to some tally people, you're also seeing some bizarre transfers. Speaking to one person who was in the RDS, he was looking at the European ballot paper and he saw a number one going to what many would say is a far right candidate, and the number two going to Sinead Gibney of Social Democrats, who would be seen as being on the totally other side of the political spectrum. And Louise O'Reilly of Sinn Féin was talking about this yesterday. It's very hard to figure out where exactly these transfers are going and what impacts that will have as these counts play out over the coming days.
Well, I think that just picking up on the smaller parties, if we give them a bit of time as well, given we're speaking about the others and then end on Fianna Fáil and where they're at. But in relation to the Labour Party, as you said, there was a sense of the party on the way into the election that this could be severely damaging and that they were going to get wiped out. And that simply has not happened. They've had some good successes. They're going to go out, I think, with a few more councillors than they did on the way in. They're very much buoyed up by Éanna Reardon's performance in Dublin and feel that some of the toxicity associated with the party in relation to its time in government with Fine Gael, that is gone. They feel that they're back. There's difficulties in losing some places in inner city Dublin, but are further afield, they're doing some gangbuster stuff. Like one of their candidates in the local area got 3,500 votes and is bringing in their running mate. So Labour feel that they
Gaines
have a story.
Cork City Gaines, Tipperary Gaines, Kilkenny Gaines, yeah.
Yep. So like Labour feels it has a good story. Well, what do you make the Social Democrats, Micheál, then?
Well, I think Social Democrats, it's harder to judge. We don't know exactly where they're going to finish up. Yes, there's new faces, but there was always going to be. They only won 19 seats the last time. Yeah. Because they were a brand new party. They're going to put a positive spin in it, but I'm just not so sure. And if Labour are ahead of them and have a significantly larger number of councils at the end of it, well, given that they are in a battle with each other on the field, I'm not so sure about. They will have new candidates, they will have new faces, but just how successful it has been, I think we'll have to wait another day to see.
And it'll be interesting to see in the Europeans as well, won't it, how many of Sinead Gibney's votes. Because she's already been saying she doesn't think, doesn't she?
Yes.
Hasn't she, that she'll get the seat? So I'm
I was looking at Sinead
Gibney's
stronghold votes this morning, and I think only about 20% were going to Éanna Reardon. So there's no love lost there.
Why? maybe mentioning people before Profit as well.
Yeah.
Not a great election. They've sort of holding their own, but not making any moves. And I was talking.
And you'd have thought with the emphasis on the Palestinian issue, which they have really, you know.
Just like Social Democrats,
yes.
Also making. That does not seem to have translated into votes. I bumped into Richard Boy Barrett, who was also down at the RDS yesterday, and I was asking him what was his. Could he say it in a sentence and account for it? And he felt that some of the manner in which political messages have been articulated in the far right has consolidated the centre, and that means that the left has lost out. That was his analysis of the election. And he was saying, like, you know, we've held our own, but I put it to him, it isn't a good election, you know.
It was interesting what a lot of people were saying on Friday. And again, maybe there's a caution in here, even for the parties who feel they've done well or will have done well by the time the counting is done here. An awful lot of people, you meeting on, you know, going in and out of the polling station. Unsure, still walking into the polling station where they were going with their 1, 2, 3 or whatever. But people saying to you very clearly, I'm not sure who I'm going for, but I absolutely know who I don't want.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're looking at the independent bloc, it sort of breaks in many different ways. There's an awful lot of, you know, centrist independents, like Michael Lowry has had, I think, 5 councillors, and we expect all 5 to come in on the first count.
4 on the first count, 4 on the 5th on the third count.
So, like, you can see there's a someone who's an independent, been there for years, got his political base, and they've managed to advance.
The Healy Rays, Verona Murphy as well.
Similarly. Exactly. Healy Rays, 3 of them coming back as they had been elected and they've been returned. Then once you move out more into the fringes, there you find an awful lot of middle ground voters saying, I'm not going to go there whatsoever. And people who would always have played a game of going 1 to 15 on the ballot paper were stopping after 8 and they weren't going to go any further. And as you said, there was a negativity associated. I know I'm still unsure which way I'm going, but I'm not going any further than that. So we'll have to wait to see, is this the case that for some of those parties who often describe themselves as nationalist but are branded far right as well, is this the beginning of something? Wonder they're going to pick up a few council seats. Is that the beginning of something? Or is it actually this their high watermark? Because all of the political parties in Leinster House understand that something has to be done in relation to migration, housing and those issues. They're going to address them. And that whole issue will just disappear, head out in the tide.
I think generally what something that will unify Sinn Féin and the government parties in the period ahead is they're going to focus very much now on independence leading into the general election, say that they don't deliver for constituents, say that they don't have power and that they typically will just align along traditional lines in the end. You're going to see that message loud and clear. It's already being voiced in the count centres today.
And interesting too as well, because Eamon Ryan has been saying, hasn't he, regularly over the past couple of months, when, you know, the Greens' poor performance in opinion polls was put to him, he was going, don't underestimate us. We have a core vote and we have a core vote that is going to stick with us on account of the climate issue. So far from what we're seeing in the results, is that being borne out?
It does bear it out. I mean, it is certainly true that the Green Party will have far less votes than it did last time in 2019. But the truth is, if you're looking at the local elections, they're holding an awful lot of the seats. On occasions, they're topping the poll. But if you're looking at somewhere like Dunleary in South Dublin, they're going to hold all of their seats. So they're having an interesting election because the Green Party was associated as something of a pendulum. They would swing to the right, get loads of votes, and then the next electoral cycle, they would lose everything that they had. And in people's minds, you think of when they had 6 seats and then 2011 lost them all. But I think that has changed. And there's a grit to them now. And certainly, even their detractors say they've delivered in government for the agenda that they have. And they're also boxing a hell of a lot smarter when they're fighting in the electoral districts as well. So I think that the Greens, all in all, will have a good election. Although Micheál and I were talking to Kieran Cuff and he wasn't able to give us too much insight into his own position. Yeah.
But it was also interesting because you saw bubbling up in the campaigns as well, you know, criticism from Fianna Fáil, criticism from Fine Gael of the Greens. It'd be interesting to watch that relationship over the next couple of months.
I don't know. It's in the Shannon. It's people in the Shannon were at that, weren't they? I mean, does Jerry Buttermer have to be at his diplomatic best to negotiate between Pauline O'Reilly and Lisa Chambers now? Interestingly, though, like Regina Doherty taking aim at the cycle lanes and comparing it to the Berlin Wall and that. And if you look
bonkers.
That kind of stuff, yeah. But if you look at Fairview, the part of the city that was ploughed up and has been done for many, many months, something that does seem to anger many people, and the Green councillor in that area, Donna Cooney, did hold her seat. So notwithstanding clear anger on the ground, anger that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael at local level picked up on, the Greens have held.
It's interesting as well, and we'll be, you know, looking at the fate of independents and smaller parties and the impact in particular.
You haven't mentioned Fianna Fáil, yes.
I'm coming to Fianna Fáil.
Wouldn't want them left out now. Wouldn't want the complaints department.
We're going to finish on Fianna Fáil, isn't that what we decided? But the impact of independence in Europe, I mean, you look at a candidate like Niall Boylan and you wonder, are you running in the wrong election? You know, because in a general election, an independent TD, we've seen it with Tony Gregory, the Independent Alliance, they can have a big impact. On the other hand, I mean, Tommy, you know from going backwards and forwards to Brussels and the European Parliament there and in Strasbourg, the impact an independent can make, it's much tougher, isn't it?
Well, you're one of over 700 MEPs, and most MEPs are part of big political groupings that will have a lot of sway in the European Parliament. And some of the independents who have been running in this European election here in Ireland have been asked what political grouping will they join with when they get there. And a few of them have not given firm commitments as to which ones they will join. I mean, those on the more right wing of the political spectrum would be reluctant to join the same grouping as Fine Gael, but then they could end up in a grouping that is seen as far right, where you would have the French leader Marine Le Pen in one of those groupings. You also have Giorgia Meloni in another one. Do they tie themselves to that, or do they stand out as independents in the European Parliament? If they did, they would be seen as having very little influence. And one other observation during the campaign, and several people have made the observation, a lot of the issues that are debated and fought around during an election campaign for the European Parliament, these are issues that really you're not really going to be tackling when you get to the European Parliament. Something like housing, for example, it's not really a European competency, but yet it features large in the campaigns.
What also featured large in the campaign, and again, this is going to be very interesting to watch whenever the new Parliament comes together, and this was who supports Ursula von der Leyen. Regina Doherty saying she would continue to support her, despite what she said were mistakes, and various others, people like Billy Kelleher for Fianna Fáil, making it absolutely clear that they wouldn't. And if Ursula von der Leyen, she's going to have a tough job, isn't she, to get the votes from Parliament that she needs if she wants a second commission term. So who she does the deals with to get those votes, that's going to be very tricky and watched very closely.
Like at the moment, it does look like she will hang on and get that second term. But in order to secure that, she will have to make some concessions to the right. And you might have seen some articles and news reports over the past few weeks and months where she's had closer and closer relationship with Giorgia Meloni in Italy, who has been seen as somebody who has played the European Union quite well during her short term as Prime Minister. And if Ursula von der Leyen is making concessions to the more right wing of the political spectrum, well, then that means issues such as the Green Deal could potentially get watered down. And it could also mean that the European Union takes a tougher approach to issues such as immigration. So you would have a very different EU to the one you had over the past 5 years, which was very much climate focused and was also very much focused on trying to deliver a more humane response to the refugee crisis.
And of course, we know the picture there at 10 o'clock tonight, won't we, when the results are polls closed and the results are released. We'll still be counting.
We'll be counting. Today is Sunday, and we'll be counting Monday, we'll be counting Tuesday. So there's loads of counting going on now and will continue to be.
You wanted to talk about Fianna Fáil.
Well, to put in month, the old complaints department getting at us. It was interesting that when Micheál Martin stormed his way into City Hall yesterday, he wanted to get a few things off. what's the expression? Get off his...
Chest,
thank you. And the first thing was in relation to opinion polls. All of those opinion polls who've had Fianna Fáil down sort of 14 and 15%. And here they were, bouncing in the 20s, possibly, I think he was predicting 23%, and riding high. And they said they were going to lose all their seats to Sinn Féin. And guess what? They've managed to hold on. And the Euros results haven't come in, and they're looking well for those as well. So he had the look of a man with justification on his side, and they feel they've had a jolly good day out. Micheál's predicting that they won't hold on as the largest party in local
government. Well, I don't know now. Maybe not.
Ah, come on. But either way, even if they're close, it's been a very, very good day for Fianna Fáil, and a certain few scores to be settled now over the coming weeks. Those exchanges in the Dáil will be rather acid come Thursday when Micheál Martin gets to his feet.
So what does all of this mean in terms of the timing of a general election? I mean, that's the question. Jack Chambers was Fianna Fáil's director of elections, you know. These results from the point of view of the government parties, does it get sweeter like than this? Why would you hang on? Get your budget, go to the country.
Yeah, I think so. And that avoids the by-elections then and the hassle of by-elections, doesn't it?
So, because that would be the issue. You'd be having to have by-elections in December if a number of TDs get elected.
Yeah, which seems certain that there will be at least maybe two, maybe three. So that it would seem unlikely that government will face into by-elections in the winter, that they have the budget and that you have the election some point in the early days of November.
So first or the 15th or the dates that are being bandied around, that you couldn't have it on the 8th because we've got a big rugby match, and so that wouldn't fit some voters.
Well, you couldn't have the voters distracted. Some of those votes might be very, very
Simon
important.
Harris is still telling people close to him that he wants to go to March, for what it's worth. Micheál Martin's first thing that he said yesterday, in more definitive language than he has been saying for weeks, his initial reaction to the election results was that he wanted to go full term again. So I don't know.
Willie O'Dea makes the really good point about that, though, doesn't he? That, you know, fair enough. Even if the government... Even if the government does hang on, you know, to go next March, the minute the budget is out of the way,
it's forgot.
The opposition will be off out in the constituencies. Yeah. It'll be the government TDs who'll be getting dragged up to the Dáil when they're only dying to be out on the doorsteps as well.
Yeah, and if you do have the by-elections, I mean, it was ultimately that changing of the numbers by a small amount that got the government into bother in 2020. So, and you're reliant on independence. It all seems needlessly messy.
Will we finish with predictions on Euros? Who dares?
Tommy first.
Well, it looks like Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will likely take seats in all three constituencies. And then when it comes to independence, it looks like Luke Ming Flanagan is faring pretty well in Midlands Northwest. There was tallying done yesterday, but it wasn't to the extent that it was done for the locals. Yeah. It was far more patchy, actually. There was good tallying done in County Clare. And Michael McNamara, the independent TD, was doing well there. But we'll have to see how it plays out. But a fairly safe prediction would be that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are looking well for seats in all three constituencies. Sinn Féin, it might be more of a battle. Perhaps Lynn Boylan will get one in Dublin.
I mean, the reason why we can't be definitive is because we just don't know. So much of it is decided on transfers. We don't have an exit poll. We don't have really good tallies. And therefore, we're just going to have to wait and see. It is one of those popcorn moments. You're just waiting for the declarations to see the vote. And once you see that, then you know a hell of a lot more.
And for Sinn Féin, I mean, they went in hoping for at least three. They could be lucky to come out with one.
Yeah, I think Lynn Boylan probably in Dublin. Niall Boylan, I think, will take a seat in Dublin, along with Barry Andrews and Regina Doherty, even though Éan O'Riordan, and there is a left block of votes there. Perhaps could he get in and change that arithmetic for the last seat? Yeah, Sinn Féin had, they did privately not just want three seats. They thought there was a chance of a bonus seat in one of those constituencies. In Midlands North West now, they may not win a seat at all. I don't know what the situation is with Kathleen Function in South, really. Some people say she did poll very well in the tallies in the east part of that constituency.
So we'll have to see. There's lots more counting to come, as Paul says, and we'll be keeping you up. We'll be back with you as usual on Thursday. We may have something before then, depending on what happens. Who knows?
Who knows?
What's around the corner. But for the moment, from everyone on Your Politics, thanks for listening. Take care.